This is March the 3rd, 2019, Sunday morning, the Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title of this is called The Purge Has Begun. I want to look at a scripture first. This is 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 17. For the time has come, or for the time has arrived, for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not respect or believe or obey the good news, the gospel of God? And if the righteous are barely saved, what will become of the godless and wicked? So Jesus is zealous for God's house. In John 2, 13 through 16, we see where he went into the temple and drove them out. He said, you've made my house a house of merchandising. Well, merchandising means a mart or emporium. I thought about Walmart. A mart or of an emporium. Okay. All right, let's look over to Matthew 10, verse 5. This may be the same thing, but we'll look. Oh, okay. Matthew 10, 5. Jesus sent out 12, charging them, go nowhere among the Gentiles, and do not go into any town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Freely, without pay, you have received. Freely, without charge, give. Take no gold, nor silver, nor even copper money in your purse, belts, and do not take a provision bag or a wallet for a collection bag for your journey. Nor two undergarments, nor sandals, nor a staff, for the workman deserves his support, his living, his food. So he's saying to them, don't let money get in front of your ministry. Don't let money be the goal of what you do and everything you do. The Lord is purging our nation and the church. My dream of the building shaking. The Lord said it was the government. It represented government and church. In the dream, the Lord said that the building represented the USA government and the building was in D.C. and it also represents the church. The church has been polluted by merchandising like Walmart. More merchandising than taking care of the Lord's business. What is the Lord's business? The Great Commission. It has become money first. Okay, 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is a root of all evils. Now keep that in mind. We've seen this week, in the last two or three weeks, we've seen a big shakeup in the Mormon church under the covering up of pedophilia and human sex trafficking, in the Baptist church the same thing, in the Catholic church the same thing. The love of money, when money gets put in the first place, it says it's the root to all evils. The potential's there for all evil. Oh God. For the love of money is the root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have been led astray and have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many acute mental pains. But God's saying, but as for you, O man of God, flee from all these things. Amen. And pursue righteousness, right standing with God, and true goodness, godliness, which is the loving fear of God, and being Christ-like, faith, love, steadfastness, patience, and gentleness of heart. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which you were summoned, for which you confess the confession of faith before many witnesses. One thing that I respect about Brother Hagin, he was very, very, very careful about money. And the only time I ever remember in all the years of ministry that I was under his ministry, one time I think he asked for people to make $2 donations to the radio broadcast. That's the only time in all those years I listened. And it was many times I wrote in and they'd send me a book, not just a mini book, but a big book to whatever problem I had. Didn't charge me a penny. Lord says, freely you have received, freely give. You're not in this to be like the world to make a killing off your book sales or off your music or anything else. Come on now. You can see how something like this could be a real snare. Even the world's financial system is taught in the church. Some you know of, in respect even. This love of money opens the door to all evils. You mean like pedophilia? In the last few weeks, we have observed this being exposed, and I already told you that. All right, Hebrews 12. Now this expression, verse 27, yet once more indicates the final removal and transformation of all that can be shaken, that is, of that which has been created, in order that what cannot be shaken may remain and continue. Let us therefore receive in a kingdom that is firm and stable and cannot be shaken. Offer to God pleasing service and acceptable worship with modesty and pious care and godly fear and awe. For God is indeed a consuming fire. And that fire is blazing right now, and it's consuming. It's bringing all this putrid stuff out into the open that's been done underground and done in secret that they thought they could hide. But He is going to shake anything that can't be shaken, and the only thing that can't be shaken is the kingdom of God. If we're walking in the fruit of the Spirit and we're walking after God and the kingdom of God, then we won't be shaken. The Lord said He is shaking this nation and the church to the foundations. A few years ago, the Lord had me unpartner with about 10 Word of Faith ministers. I had partnered with some of them for many years. Before Brother Hagin went home, he called several of these in the group of the 10 that I partnered with on the carpet about some wrong directions they were going concerning money. Most of these sell lots of books and tapes, etc., have huge ministries and make a lot of money off of their books and tapes. They merchandise what God has freely given them. Once I wanted to share on the air a portion of a book that I had bought from one of these said ministers, and they said I could not. And if I told their name, you'd know who they were. Freely you have received, freely give. Brother Hagin always stressed to be careful in the area of money. I would say, my opinion, that most depend on merchandising out of their ministries to make a living. Brother Hagin, when I would write in for advice, would send me free mini books or regular books at no charge. In all my years partnering with Brother Hagin, only once did I hear from him ask for money for Rhema. He suggested was $2 a month. Putting money first can lead and probably lead to evil. I'm sure most believe that if they don't sell that stuff, that their ministries will fail. Well, maybe they need to. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. The kingdom of God, all of it is a step release program. That's what Jesus told his disciples. You step out and you go do. Don't you take extra clothes. Don't you take gold or silver. Don't you even give it a thought. And I'll provide for you. It's not the world's way. I want to read this. This is Mark Taylor. This was April the 26th, 2016. It's called Purging the Temple. The Spirit of God says the 501c3, the 501c3, those that are eating of it are not eating from my tree. For when I told Adam and Eve, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for you shall surely see, so it is with those that eat from the 501c3. For this demonic document that you have signed has now made you spiritually deaf, mute, and blind. Woe to those who continue to use this demonic system, for you will be exposed and purged from this evil cistern. What's he saying here? We have come under a corporation. We are a corporation. It's a merchandising. It's like a business. It's not even the God's house. I'm talking about corporately the church. This is what it is. The Spirit of God says, can you not see that you're taking a bribe? They will say it's all about the money, and for that you shall be kicked from my tribe. Taking a bite from that apple has taken you from a spiritual body to a brick and mortar, and has placed you under the new world order. For how can you be a part of my spiritual body when you've cut off my head? For those that don't turn will surely fall as dead. Tear up the contract, repent, divorce Baal, and remarry me, and I will remove the spiritual blindness you can once again see. Come out of this. Come out of this before it's too late, for my judgments are on those systems that I hate. Come out now, for I will no longer tolerate. Now, I believe the Lord's going to do that. I believe he's doing that for the church. And anyway, the Lord sees things pretty black and white. He's not iffy and lenient, and when he says something, he wants something done a certain way. He wants it his way. He's not to be argued with or another way pursued. He's not going to do it any other way. Our flesh will never, never do nothing. But you can see how the church has just come under. The 501c3 is a corporation. I've prayed about it for a few years about would the Lord have me do anything. He's not. I don't really even use it. I mean, I do give people tax receipts for the giving, but if it came to the point that we didn't do it, it's no big deal to me. Okay. The church has replaced God's business with merchandising. How is the church different from the world then? How is it different? They act like the world. They do everything the world does. In fact, they kind of follow after the world and mimic the world in their music and all kinds of things. I tell you what, the Lord's going to have to help me, because where we're headed, I don't see little kids out on the sidewalk selling cupcakes. You know what I'm saying? Hounding the people for money till you feel like you're just going to fall on the floor and faint. More hounding for money than there are even the word brought forth. You tell me, is it a merchandising business? Get on the air and listen to ministers and just clock the time that they speak on their offerings and how you need, you know. Don't even need to go any further on that. Okay, Ezekiel. Oh, Lord, help us. I said, Lord, is there going to be much left? Once you get through and get through cleaning it out, is there going to be much of anything left? Whatever's been shaken that will remain, you know it's God's. He's purging. He's running them out with a whip. And then I hear that minister. Well, it was really not the minister directly. It was someone quoting the minister saying all these evil things about our president. I'm going, and you're a minister of the gospel and you have a church? I said, Lord, how can you allow this? All right, this is Ezekiel 8. Now, you have to think about it. Ezekiel is a really cool book. It's all about God's people wouldn't go as do what he wanted them to do. So Nebuchadnezzar came in, you know, took over everything, and they were exiled to Babylon. And Ezekiel has to witness the chariot of God show up and escort the Spirit of God out of the temple of God. This is what kind of what it's about. Okay. This is Ezekiel 8. In the sixth year of the captivity of King Jehoiachin, in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, that I set in my house a captive of the Babylonians with the elders of Judah sitting before me, the hand of the Lord fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness of a man with the appearance of fire from his waist down. He was like fire, and from his waist upward he had appearance of brightness like gleaming bronze. And he put forth the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the entrance of the door of the inner court, which faces toward the north, where was the seat of the idol, image of jealousy, which provokes to jealousy. And behold, there was the glory of God of Israel, who had loved and chosen them, like the vision I saw in the plain. Then he, the Spirit, said to me, Son of man, now lift up your eyes toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes toward the north, and behold, on the north of the altar gate was that idol, image of jealousy, in the entrance. Furthermore, the Spirit said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations of the house of Israel is committing here to drive me far from my sanctuary. So he's being driven out because the people don't want him. But you shall again see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, there was a hole in the wall. We talked about, Danny and I talked about it this week. I remember bringing this. I don't remember how long it was, about the hole in the wall. Then he said to me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had dug in the wall, behold, there was a door. He said to me, go in and see the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw their pictures of every form of creeping thing and loathsome beast and all idols of the house of Israel painted round about on the wall. And there stood before these pictures 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. In the midst of them stood Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense was going up in prayer to these gods. Then said he to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in his secret chambers of idol pictures, for they say the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. He also said to me, yet again, you shall see greater abominations which they are committing. Then he brought me to the entrance of the north gate of the Lord's house, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammaz, a Babylonian god, who was supposed to die annually and subsequently be resurrected. Then said the Spirit to me, have you seen this, O Son of Man? Yet again you shall see greater abominations than they are committing, And he brought me to the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the bronze altar, were about 25 men with their backs to the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. And they were bound themselves toward the east and worshiping the sun. Then the Spirit said to me, have you seen this, O Son of Man? Is it too slight a thing to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here, that they must fill the land with violence and turn back afresh to provoke me to anger? Behold, they put the branch to their nose, actually before their mouths in superstitious worship. Therefore I will deal in wrath. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. I was looking at YouTube, and there was a video that came up. It talked about some Christian witches conference, and I thought, what? Christian witches? I said, the two should not even be in the same sentence. And I was telling Danny about the destiny cards, those churches that use the destiny cards. It's like tarot cards. They flip them over, and they discern what they're supposed to do by these cards. This isn't a church. Accepted practice in some churches. The Spirit cried, chapter 9, in my ears in the vision with a loud voice, saying, cause those to draw near who have charge over the city as executioners, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the direction of the upper gate with faces north, every man with his battle axe in his hand. And one man among them was clothed in linen with a writer's ink bottle at his side, and they went in and stood beside the bronze altar. And the glory of God of Israel, the Shekinah cloud, had gone up from the cherubim upon which it had rested to stand above the threshold of the Lord's house. And the Lord called to the man clothed with linen, who had the writer's ink bottle at his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of men who sigh and groan over all the abominations that are committed in the midst of it. That's us. Those are people that are tired of the desecration, and they want to see righteousness rain down like water. And to the others he said in my hearing, follow the man with the ink bottle through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have any pity. Slay outright the elderly, the young man and the virgin, the infant and the woman, but do not touch or go near anyone on whom is the mark. begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the old men who were in front of the temple, who did not have the Lord's mark on their foreheads. And he said to the executioners, defile the temple and fill its courts with the slain. Go forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And while they were slaying them and I was left, I fell upon my face and cried, oh, Lord God, will you destroy all that is left of Israel in your pouring out of your wrath and indignation upon Jerusalem? Then said he to me, the iniquity and guilt of the house of Israel and Judah are exceedingly great. The land is full of blood and the city full of injustice and perverseness, for they say, the Lord has forsaken the land. The Lord does not see what we are doing. And as for me, my eye will not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their wicked doings upon their own heads. And behold, the man clothed in linen who had the ink bottle at his side reported the matter, saying, I've done as you have commanded me. The purge. This is what the Lord is allowing me to do as he leads me. I look through a hole, a rabbit hole, to see clearly the state of the church and the state of the nation. I know it's hard to hear, it's hard for me to see and hear, but it is necessary. Some holes I have been avoiding, honestly, I just don't want to know. This is all of this. I'm not going to read it today, but it's all about the different things and all about the thousands and thousands and thousands of children that are missing every year. And all of this is about all these, like the Free Will Baptist Church Home, the Florida Baptist Church Home, the Houston First Baptist Church Home. All these, this is where a lot of the children are stolen out of these foster homes. State-funded foster care in the church, part of the problem, not part of the solution. It says, judge condemns Texas foster care system that abuses children is unconstitutional. So on and on it goes, all this information. 800,000 children in the U.S. missing each year. International Tribunal exposes pedophilia problem. Victims testify of child sex trafficking, satanic ritual abuse. These are churches. These aren't the world. These are churches. And there's all kind. I've got page after page. And this man here, this man used to be, I think it was CIA. His name is Robert David Steele. He's on the Judicial Commission of Inquiry into Human Trafficking and Child Sexual Abuse. So he sits on a bench, you know. So he is trying to combat the problem, come against the problem. Anyway, a whistleblower. Okay.